You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. You guessed it, I am still in Aussie land. Actually, as this particular episode goes live, I'm in New Zealand, or I'm heading to New Zealand, on a late but great honeymoon with the love of my life and guest of a previous episode, Gretchen. And it is to the love of my life that I extend gratitude for the theme of this week's episode, because I'm going to examine something she once said to me when I was stressed out and upset about something I honestly can't remember, which is an interesting thing about the things that stress us out and make us upset. I really can't remember what it was specifically, but I do recall that I had apologized a few times for my emotional state, or what I perceived as was not an okay emotional state, and I was voicing frustration with myself for not being able to calm down. And effectively, I was having the sort of moment where my psychologist would laugh and then say, "Oh, you're frustrated because you're not enlightened." Yeah, I was having a "I'm not enlightened and that sucks" moment. So I was very much so, very frustrated. And Gretchen, in her calm, present way, looked me in the eye and offered this reminder: your mind is not a problem to fix. And I say that it was a reminder because one of the fundamental teachings of the Buddha is that we are not aiming to transcend our mind or our experience. We can transform the mind, but we can't escape it. In fact, it's when we're looking for an escape that's gotten us into most of the neurotic states that we are in most of the time. When I was lamenting my emotional state and frothing myself up, which is totally what I was doing, I was also taking the approach that there was something wrong with me rather than a flaw in my thought process that I could actually address. This just makes an enemy out of the mind. It turns it into something that we think we should attack, and then we do, in a lot of really unhelpful ways. We call ourselves stupid or hopeless or messy. We distract or numb ourselves out with television, video games, drugs, alcohol, shopping, sex, whatever our addiction is that gives us some sort of bliss or a feeling of temporary relief. We might also sit down to meditate to try and achieve a sense of calm, to override what's going on. This is a trap that I fall into. I used to fall into it a lot more easily than I do nowadays, but I still do, and I know it very well. When I first came to meditation, I was on fire. Not actually on fire, but mentally on fire. I was a mess. Judgy, I know, but I really was. I saw meditation as a balm to soothe it, to soothe my emotional state. This is a common misconception, and it's one that I've addressed before. This whole idea that meditation is about relaxing, we should just put it out of our head, because that's not what meditation is about and not what it's for. Yes, meditation can totally be relaxing, sometimes. But meditation is ultimately about being present, and also about making friends with ourselves. So when we meditate, we're showing up on the spot for whatever is going on. Messiness and neuroses and anxiety, whatever is up for us, meditation is the practice of us being there for ourselves. And we do this not because we want to fix our mind, but because our mind is the tool we actually need. And in fact, the only tool that we actually have that can liberate us from the habitual patterns of thought that got us to where we are in that moment when we are feeling so on fire. This is seriously good stuff right here. I'm gonna repeat that bit. Our mind is not a problem to fix, but the actual tool we have to liberate us from the habitual patterns of thought that cause our suffering. This is very helpful. But what isn't helpful is that a lot of the time, when something is up for us, we won't have a calm, wise person standing there to remind us that our mind isn't the problem that needs fixing. that there isn't really a problem that needs fixing. But that's okay. Because inside each and every one of us, even the most neurotic, seemingly hopeless case, and I say this as someone who has often thought of themselves as a neurotic, hopeless case, there is a calm, wise person. In Buddhism, we call it Buddha nature. Someone who has an understanding of the causes of happiness and how to find happiness in a way that doesn't cause harm. It's all about working with our mind, and it's the insight that we have to our own capability, and we can tap into that. Why do I say that? I say this with great confidence on the basis that if you're listening to this podcast and you've gotten this far into it, you've got to have some awareness of this. If you weren't capable of working with your own mind, you wouldn't be interested in this stuff. Even people who aren't interested in this stuff are capable of working with their own mind. But I'm just saying, you know, you're already working on that. You've got a good step in the right direction. Let's say that step one is this. Give yourself some credit. You're listening to this. You're interested in how to make your life more workable. You're interested in how to understand yourself better as a human being so that you can understand other human beings better so that you can be a more effective, skillful, kind, compassionate person. Step two, give yourself a break. Until enlightenment, we've all got work to do. In the heat of the moment, we may forget all of that wise stuff that we repost to our Facebook wall or on Instagram, and that's fine. We can still examine our habitual stuff when it's not quite so intense. And honestly, for most of us, it's going to take years, like 10 or 20 years, before we can actually work with our mind in the moment of extreme anxiety or intense self-loathing or overwhelming stress. We really need to get over this whole idea that there is one single answer to solve all of our problems and that it's quick. That doesn't exist. If it did, we'd have already found it and we'd be using it. This brings me to step three. Start with the little things. Don't jump into the deep end by trying to work with your mind in a really intense situation, like around any feeling of being violated or betrayed or seriously let down. Start working with your mind when you just feel irked or a little bit miffed. Examine how it's not the situation that causes our annoyance, but our way of thinking about it. With these little things, we can start to see the unreliability of our thoughts, not our mind, and that every thought can be let go. So that's it for today's subject, the topic itself. But now I want to make a little announcement. The reason that I've been in Australia, well, reasons, there are numerous, many, many causes and conditions. The big one, one of the big reasons that I'm here is because it was a really good opportunity for me to work on the preparations for the launch of a crowdfunding campaign. I'm going to be getting my first fiction book published. I published Wise at Any Age in 2013, and that was a huge accomplishment for me, one that I'm still really proud of. But my passion when it comes to writing is fiction. I have a multitude of finished manuscripts, and I took the decision that 2016 would be the year I'd finally start getting them published. The manuscript that I've chosen to go with for this campaign is one that I wrote during NaNoWriMo, or National Novel Writing Month, for those of you who aren't familiar with the mashup acronym. The book is called Friends We Haven't Met, and it's a tribute, really, to people watchers. The sort of people who wonder about the inner lives of the people that we see on the bus or that we pass in the corridor of your apartment, or that one person that we always seem to stand behind in the queue when we're getting coffee. Preparations are well underway now. I've hired an editor, so excited, and my campaign marketing plan was approved by Publishsizer, which is the platform that I'm using. And the whole thing is going live on my birthday in 2 weeks, which is the 1st of May. So I want to extend to you, my listeners, because you're such great supporters, you share this podcast so much and I really appreciate it, the opportunity to be one of the first to get a copy of it when it's published later this year. It will be published officially and made available to the public in November, but if you're a backer of the campaign, you're going to get it in September. So I've included a link to sign up to my monthly newsletter in the description of this episode. If you sign up to that, then you'll be one of the first to find out all of the details. But that's not the only reason that I'm telling you this. My intention had been to run season 2 of Everything is Workable for straight 25 days, just like I did with season 1. But I've quickly realized that doing a crowdfunding campaign is a full-time job. I don't want to be distracting myself by putting too much energy into promoting something when I really have to put all of my energy into promoting this campaign. So I've already been ridiculously busy since March, and things are only going to ramp up when I make the crowdfunding page go live on May 1st. May 1st, mark your calendars, 1st of May. So I'm taking a podcast sabbatical. This will be the last episode from now until the end of May. I'm planning to start back up in June. And at that point, I'll be busy with editing the manuscript and fulfilling perks for backers and all of that post-campaign stuff. So it'll be easier for me to put out podcasts again and promote them. So as I said, if you want to keep up with the campaign for Friends We Haven't Met and to learn more about it, you can sign up to my newsletter from the link that's in the description of this show. And you can also check out my blog, which is over on faunawolfcreations.com. I usually also share those through onto Medium and post them onto my Facebook and my Twitter. So if you follow any of my social media accounts, you can find out details there. I have shared the first chapter of Friends We Haven't Met, so you can read that and see if it's the book that you want to read more of. I'll be posting other details in the ramp up to launch day, which is really all of next week. So thank you for your support, as always, and for some of you, this is an opportunity, really, to catch up on episodes if you haven't been able to listen to all of season 2 every week. For others, I'll be back in the summer. I'll be back in June. Re-listen to some of your favorite episodes, and please keep sharing them. And also, if you are really into Friends We Haven't Met, please, please, please tell your friends, anyone you think might be interested in reading it. This is my birthday present to myself to publish this campaign on the 1st of May for my birthday, and it would mean so much to me. Eternal gratitude to anyone who's interested in reading this book and decides to pre-buy a copy. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in June. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.